Hi.
It's John and Jenny Dye.
Hi, happy to be here with you all.
And we just finished watching Saturday evening conference.
Yes, the Saturday evening session of General Conference. Today's April 6th, 2024. We've had a long day of, you know, sessions and not sessions thing, probably just like you.
Now, interesting, I believe you said you only had Elder Gong who referenced April 6th, the date that is today, right?
That I heard of all the things today. I could be
wrong. So let us know in the comments below if you heard anyone else mention that. But it's kind of interesting that not a lot of people have alluded to that.
Yeah.
Also, I hope Kurt Frankum chooses Johnny Lee's Looking for Love to intro this. That was alluded to by Elder Uchtdorf. And he actually misquoted it. He said, looking for joy in all the wrong places. Being from Montana, I will correct you on that. That is looking for love in all the wrong places.
It's a country song. I had no idea.
Looking for love. Okay. All right. We'll stop.
So just like President Oaks announced this morning, almost first thing, is that three of the five sessions of conference would be conducted by a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. And that applied to the Saturday night session because Elder Renland was the one who was conducting. And the music was provided by a choir from the Utah Valley Institute. You could see all the UVU green and the ties. It looked very nice.
Felt a little bit like St. Patrick's Day, right?
Well, if we're lucky.
A lot happening. Okay, should we start from the very top?
I think so.
First? Okay, yeah. Let's do that.
So first we had Elder Shane Bowen. And I mean, that talk, there was a lot there. I thought, here's a man who has experienced a lot of real life and was very generous, I think, in sharing what are essentially very private, personal, sacred experiences. He talked a lot about how the priesthood has been restored, and he talked about just different experiences he's had and how that relates to the restoration of the priesthood. I will say that I never expected to hear the words, my companion and I were arrested, in a conference talk.
Yeah.
But he shared those words.
He's got a rap sheet.
Yeah.
Probably not the only missionary, but
no, yeah.
Yeah, but he basically relied on his patriarchal blessing, which alluded to him getting married and having children, which he knew promises were there. So he had mentioned, if I remember correctly, it was Chile, right?
Where
he
was serving? I think so.
Maybe Peru.
But he did say, what I really liked is that he talked about in his prayer, he said, you know, Heavenly Father, I know that you protect missionaries and I'm asking for this help. So I really liked that.
Yeah, that was good.
And he went on to talk about just how miracles have not ceased.
Yes, yes, yes. And then he shared another, I think, very personal experience, which the quote I took from that, and sorry, I'm looking at my notes here online, we have to lift the van off of Emily.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell a little bit about what happened?
He and his family were on the, I think it was a war temple trip, maybe?
I don't remember the reason, but they were together as a family in the van.
Yeah, and his wife, who had neglected at the time to buckle her seatbelt, felt inspired to do so. I'm guessing this may have been in the days when it wasn't, you know, as instantaneous or automatic, I guess I should say, that we would buckle our seatbelts. Anyway, they came around a bend. Someone coming from the opposite direction swerved into their lane, and they ended up rolling the van. Couldn't find their daughter, Emily. It was dark. Other friends that had also been driving in the same direction pulled over to look. They were calling her name, didn't find her. Finally, Elder Bowen saw his daughter Emily's lifeless body under the van. He and others lifted the van off of her, and they, through a priesthood blessing, were able to have her come back to life. She took a deep breath and
And they commanded her, I think you said, right, to come back to life. Now she and her husband, I believe, have seven children. So I'll just read a quote or two. Please. that I put, and then we could move on to Elder Bangeters. But however, this was a quote from this first talk. God keeps all his promises always. So I think that's important. And he also said, many today say that miracles no longer exist, that angels are fictional, and that the heavens are closed. He testified that miracles have not ceased, angels are among us, and the heavens are truly open. So that was good.
Yeah, that's a talk that I look forward to revisiting.
That's good. And I can't remember, is he one of the ones that was released this morning?
If I'm not mistaken, I think he was one that was released.
I think he was. We'll have to go back and check our notes. Let's move on to Elder Bangeter, shall we?
Yeah. He opened by, and he is in the young men's, no, he's of the 70?
70. Yeah, okay, he's, yes. Okay. Yep,
so he General decided to speak directly to the youth. Talked a lot about the plan of salvation, about blessings and promises, and knowing your identity. And this is where he shared an experience that he had as a young man when, you know, the biggest goals he had in life, what did he say, to be taller?
Be tall and something. Something.
Yeah. But his dad had took the time to really sit down next to him. I really enjoyed his description of how he remembers.
Nuzzling up.
Like feeling like the feel the of his dad. Yeah. Like sitting so close
which
to him.
I'm sure he's passed on, his father has, so that meant a lot.
And he, what he said is, you know, son, he said, protect the private times of your life. And, you know, that, what it came down to was integrity. When you're having private times in your life, what that will do, it's how you behave in your private times represents and reflects upon how you will face adversity in your life. When there's no one around to be accountable to but yourself, that's when things are hard or can be if you don't train yourself to really have that integrity.
Yeah. Well, I like what he said, and it reminded me of Coach John Wooden, formerly of UCLA, who has now passed on, but he gave this quote, "The true test of a man's character is what he does when no one is watching." So again, aligns perfectly with what was said by Elder Bangeter and protecting those private times in your life. So that's good.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to talk number three. What impressed you there?
From President Andrea Spanos, the second counselor in the UN Women General Presidency. She's the second one in a row to begin by saying, "Hey, youth, I'm talking to you." And she talked about, you know, she said, how can we be faithful in while we're living in a world of sin? How do you experience joy? And she went on to describe the background of David and Goliath. And she talked about David, the five stones that David had. And she suggested that the stones perhaps represented five different things. Love of God, faith in the Savior Jesus Christ, knowledge of our true identity, daily repentance, and access to God's power. And even went on to say that if David had had a sixth stone, it would be the stone of my testimony. And what was notable to me about this talk is how often she referred back to the first strength of youth, or whatever they're calling it. Is that what they're calling it?
Yes, the Strength of Youth pamphlet. Yeah.
But those were the quotes that she was referencing, which of course is in its own, is an inspired document, but
pulling directly from that.
Yeah, and I just thought that was great because it was an example to the youth to also turn there for guidance.
Yeah, to pull from that. I thought that was good. Yeah, and shall we just move on?
Sure.
That was wonderful. I would have said those same six things.
Yeah.
So that's perfect. And then we had Elder Carpenter, a General Authority 70, who spoke to us. And what did you take away from Elder Carpenter?
He talked about peaches.
He brought up peaches, which is great.
Yep.
Peaches and cream.
You bet.
Yeah. But no, that was wonderful. He started off that way. He talked about celestial marriage, right person, right place, right time.
And I should say, it wasn't just random peaches. He was talking about, enjoying the fruits
of the harvest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in talking about celestial marriage, he gave some pretty direct warnings. Mm. And I think that they are probably very needed. You know, talking about being true to our marriage covenants and really cleaving unto our spouses and what that includes. That it includes not flirting, not dating, not, you know, and on and on. But
after you've made those
covenants, exactly.
Right.
So it was very.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot there too.
There was, and that's, yeah, it's a good one to reference and to go back to. Both of us, it's unique because both of us have been married once before.
Yeah, and have been sealed to other people before.
And had that sealing canceled.
Yep, and then now we are sealed to each other. So only each other.
Only each other.
As far as spouses go.
Yeah. Children's not a thing. All right, well, then we have a member of the 12. Looking for love.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so, I'll stop.
President Uchtdorf, or Elder Uchtdorf, gave the finale here for the Saturday evening session. And you know what? It occurred to me, it's such a great talk. Of course, he started out talking about the Wright brothers, but he gave the story about when the Wright brothers' father was so nervous.
Go ahead. And he mentioned this is probably the first time he's brought up an aviation analogy in 4 or 5 talks. I don't know if that's true.
It is. Well,
is that true?
Yes, because I only know that because on Twitter, people have been like, wait, where's the airplane talk?
Okay. So, yeah. Good, good, good.
But he's owning it, right? It's his brand. So he talked about how with the Wright brothers, when they first discovered flight, how it made their father so anxious that they both would die in one of their flights. So they promised him and they kept their word that they would not fly together. And so when they finally convinced their father to join them in flight, he was so delighted that he called out, "Higher, Orville, higher." And so he took that to translate into the higher joy we can experience throughout our lives as we soar.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he likened that to, you know, men are that they might have joy. Second mm-hmm. Nephi 2:25. Basically, he did give a hat tip to mental maladies or mental illness, right?
Well,
which I thought was important, saying we realize that some people are, you know, their bodies are constituted in a certain way, that he wanted to make sure he did a hat tip toward that, saying it's not always a choice to be happy.
Right. And that I think it's very important that he said feeling sad is not a failure because we tend to maybe think that way, that there's some sort of error in a feeling. And so he said, he encouraged us all to find joy. And he said, if part of finding joy for you is engaging the help of a mental health professional, then please do.
Yeah.
It was awesome that way.
I really like that. And yes. But basically I love the fact that the joy that God has in store for us is better than anything that exists on this earth. I like how he talked about that. He said, may we all seek and find the higher joy that comes from devoting our lives to Heavenly Father and His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Bring joy to others around you. If we seek reasons to be angry, to doubt, to be bitter or alone, we will find them. However, if we seek joy, if we look for reasons to rejoice and to happily follow the Savior, we will find them too. Seek and you shall find.
Yeah. And I just overall, I felt like this is such a good talk. It's to me the tone of a talk that we'd maybe hear in Sunday morning session because that tends to be the session that the most people tune into, that maybe even whether in person or via broadcast, that more government officials or interfaith guests would be there. And this was just such a great representation of something that's core to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is joy. So
that was great. That was great. Now, before we leave, we've got a little bit of time left. We're trying to cut off in about 40 seconds, but
the choir ended with Amazing Grace. It
Amazing
was awesome.
Grace. I
want to know who did the arrangement. Go ahead.
Yes. And that had that ever been done before? Amazing Grace. Don't know. So if you know, put it in the comments below. Has Amazing Grace ever been utilized in General Conference before? So before we go, we just want to do a shout out to TWIM. If you have any desire to reach out, you can do so. And you can email Kurt at a certain email address, which I am not finding, at least at the moment. But Kurt is awesome. And so you can find that. We will put that in the show notes and we'll be good to go. Maybe it's here. Nope. It's not there.
Is it down there?
Contact. It's,
we'll find
I believe it's Contact at This Week in Mormons. Let's go with that. Contact at This Week in Mormons.
I'm sure you've heard it before, and we agree.
Yes, that's a great spot.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy conference.